Hey,
Blog
this is
Talk
it.
Radio.
And welcome aboard. This is our first live broadcast of Real Estate is Cool. Oh, as far as I know. Brendan Cunningham here for Husbar Real Estate's Platinum Team. And we're going to talk about things that make real estate cool, as far as I know. The reason why I keep saying as far as I know is because I'm associated with a company called Husbar Real Estate. Most people say, what the hell is Husbar? So I just usually say, well, as far as I know, it's one of the cool companies in town. Now, this particular show may sound like a commercial for Husbar Real Estate and will be just slightly, ever so slightly. But one of the things we're going to talk about over the next couple of sessions, next couple of weeks and months and years, hopefully, are things that make real estate cool. And one of the things that make real estate cool, it's not just the buying and selling and the investing. Yeah, that's fun. We're going to talk about that, but that could get boring too. Now, one of the things that we're going to talk about, or some of the things we're going to talk about, are the people and the things that go into the whole melange of real estate. Yes, we're going to talk about, example, I am speaking primarily to an audience in the Western New York area, Buffalo, New York, or we like to call 716 land. That's the area code. We're soon going to get another area code, but that's a whole other story. But in 716 land, Buffalo, the city, also known as the Queen City and its environments, we enjoy a lot of things here. Yeah, we get snow, and that's, we'll talk about that too. That's not such a big deal as everyone makes it out to be, believe it or not, even though we just had a terrible blizzard. Greatest blizzard in anyone's lifetime that remembers. Certainly the last blizzard that I want to live through. But having said that, we're going to talk about all the cool things that go on in this town. Example, over the next weeks, we're going to be talking to people over at the Albert Knox Gallery, who will be reopening after 3 years of being closed and being refurbished. Now, this was a world-class museum before they undertook this tremendous renovation. And it reminds me of the wonderful, wonderful museum that you'll find in Bilbao, Spain. Now, most people say, where the hell is Bilbao, Spain? Well, nobody knew where the hell Bilbao, Spain was before. It's at the northern coast of Spain, right on the water, on the Galician Sea. And there was nothing in Bilbao. It was a lovely town, lovely seaport, fishing town. And all of a sudden, the Guggenheim Museum decided to build a sister museum in Bilbao, Spain. So there's a Guggenheim Museum. It's sort of like a smaller version of the one that you'll see on Fifth Avenue in New York City. But one of the things that the Guggenheim Museum does for Manhattan is it helps that become a destination. I mean, I know you go to New York for lots of other reasons, but that's certainly one of the reasons why you want to go there is to see the Guggenheim. And it's certainly one of the reasons why you want to go to Bilbao, Spain. And it's certainly going to be one of the reasons why you want to go want to come to Buffalo. Aside from the other things, the great architecture, the natural splendors that we have, the wonderful refurbishing of cool things that are going on the waterfront, all things cool make up the wonderful world of real estate, as far as I know. We're going to have a guest a little bit later on in the show, our first guest, and appropriately enough, it will be a gentleman by the name of Joel Husbar, who we'll talk to in a few minutes when he appears to us. He's traveling somewhere out there in cyberspace. And by the way, you can call into this show and you can be a star and your voice can be transported and listened to all over the wonderful world of cyberspace for the rest of eternity. It never goes away. All you really need to do is just call us on area code 563-999-3066. That's 999-3066 in area code 563. I don't even know where the hell that is. I'm here in our studios on John Jay Boulevard, and I'm in Buffalo, New York. Basically, it's Amherst, actually. But this thing gets transmitted all over the world. In fact, we had a few mishaps when we tried to connect the first time around because the board automatically defaults to Greenwich Mean Time, which is interesting and fun. But be that as it may, we have a caller on the wire. Who could this be? Are you there? Are you there? Can you hear us now? Who's out there calling us? Hello, hello. The wonders of cyberspace. I see somebody out there calling us. Hello, hello. Can you hear us now?
Brendan, are you there?
I am.
Glad you can hear me as well. Matthew Auschman, really quick, sir.
All right. So where is our guest? Are you live? Can you hear us? Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
There. No, he's not coming in either. Okay. Well, anyway, we're going to keep talking as we're waiting for somebody to come back on online here. But in the meantime, yeah, all the things that make real estate cool that go into the thing. Example, I went to Shea's Theater the other night. Hadestown was in the National Touring Company was in to see us. And it's the first stop when you get out of Buffalo. And it was like the old vaudeville stop. Hey, we're going to shuffle off to Buffalo. And the first thing you do as soon as you go to New York City is you'd come to Buffalo. And you'd go to this wonderful theater called Shays. And when you came in at Shays, you saw this magnificent theater. Now, most people that have never been to a theater in New York City, when they go, and if they're used to going to Shays, one of the things that they are surprised at is just how small most of the theaters are on Broadway. They're not huge. I mean, other than the Winter Garden and perhaps one other theater, they're kind of small. They're not quite as small as the Cavanocchi's Theater, which is another treasure in Buffalo. It makes the real estate wonderful here, which is located at Dewville College. But when you look at Shays, it is magnificent. It's almost a museum unto itself. And I was delighted when years ago they finally did some renovations on the place, and they brought it back to its original splendor. So let's see if we can get our caller back on the wire. Are you there? Can you hear me? Are you there? I can see that you're out there. I don't know whoever you're calling me, but you don't seem to be getting
through. Can you hear me?
There you are. It's magic. Is that?
Couple takes at it and we'll hear you. Hi.
Joel, are you there? Oh, my. What's up? Okay. Well, as soon as you blip back in, talk to us. The wonders of technology. Don't you just love it? One of the things that happened during COVID is we all got used to zooming in on people, those wonderful Zoom calls. You know what? The thing that was always embarrassing about that and wasn't cool at all was everyone always spent the first 20 minutes on a Zoom call trying to figure out how to get the Zoom call to friggin' work. Can you hear me? Can you see me? I can see you, but
you
I can't
gotta
hear
love
you.
Technology, that's for sure.
There you are. You gotta love technology. Joel, I can hear you now. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud
okay.
And clear.
All right, beautiful. So let's talk to a guy that holds a number of different distinctions, one of which is he was the youngest president elected to the Buffalo Niagara Association of Realtors in over 100 years. I don't know. I think it was like 1904, 1906 they started. So that's a long time.
Yeah, we're like 120 years or so.
120 years or so. So we have this gentleman who's been described to some people as a bit of a wunderkind, comes along, and he has a wonderful real estate company, which I think is cool, and a number of other people think is cool, and we are kind of the talk of the town as it just happens. So I want to talk to Joel Huswar, who runs this whole show over here, and why does he think that this is such a cool place to work? Take it away, Joel.
So it's funny calling us cool. It's just kind of something that I've always decided, like, I wanted to build a culture of somewhere where people could not only advance their real estate careers, but whatever entrepreneurial goals they have. I always kind of saw it as, like, it's an incubator for entrepreneurs. So, excuse me, I'm just getting over a cold. But one of the coolest things that I think that our agents, like where they're really able to succeed, is they all work together. One of the coolest things that I see is, I mean, we have multiple teams at the brokerage, and usually teams don't really share their ideas. They try to keep those things close to their hip. Where, I mean, just last week I saw one of our team leaders was literally coaching a new agent on another team. So, I mean, it just kind of helps reassure me that our culture is right and everybody around, they really just want to help each other grow.
You know what? It really is extraordinary to watch. And, you know, obviously I have gray hair and I've been around this for longer than you have. And I've watched companies come and go, and they surely have come and gone over the years. I'm fairly certain you're around to stay for sure. And in just the short period of time that you've decided to hang your shingle, what is it, about 8 years now, Joel?
Actually, this May marks my 10th year as a broker.
Oh, wow. See that? I get a year older. Your company gets a year older. Wow, 10 years.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. But, you know, you came from last position out of, I don't know, 400 different companies, 385 different companies that are associated with the Association of Realtors. And where are you guys at today?
So right now we're sitting, we hover between 6th and 7th place of all brokerages in Western New York.
Wow. I mean, if people don't appreciate that as the success story that it is, then I don't know what they're doing. But it really is amazing. And you know, I'll tell a little story. When I first met you, I met you at some sort of a function at the association. And I recognized, you know, and I've been around, again, for a long time, and you see people come and go, and you recognize talent, and you recognize people that have sort of soft skills. And I sort of gravitated to you from across, and we had a conversation. And I observed that you had something that I hadn't seen for a while, and that you were a young guy, millennial, post-millennial, where you, I don't know where you stack up, but I think you're a millennial. And
I think I classify as millennial, yeah.
Yeah. And you were unusually respectful. You were unusually old-fashioned. I mean, you were wearing a three-piece suit, I mean, at the time. And you just were just a delight to talk. And I said, this is like talking to an old-fashioned guy, an old-fashioned and broker. And one of the things that I noticed and I watched you put the pieces together in your company is you brought the best of all possible worlds together. And you brought the technology piece together. I don't understand half of it. I got to tell you the truth. But I'm struggling. I'm getting there. But you have the technology piece. You have the youth and enthusiasm piece. And then you've got some veteran players on your team to sort of give you some ballast and some measure. But yeah, it really is the way business was supposed to be. And part of the premise of this show is that when people have a real estate experience, we hope that it's a good experience. At the bare minimum, it should be at least a good experience. But if you go beyond that and people have true good customer service, you know, in the transaction, it should actually be a cool experience. And one of the things that I see time and time again is not only do people give you endorsements and say, oh my God, this guy was so wonderful to work with, but you really get a sense that you guys did a cool job. Everything should be cool in this country as far as I'm concerned. We have no negative stuff on this show ever. And I just want to personally salute Joel for doing an outstanding job for putting this thing on the map. And in 7th or 8th spot in just 10 years, out of all the companies that are out there, that's pretty darn amazing. So kudos to you, Joel, and your team.
Awesome. So, thank you so much.
Yeah. So let me ask you, what do you think is truly the sort of magic arrow that you have in your quiver for attracting people that are cool?
Well, so like you said, we do use technology, and I'd be remiss to say, you know, my mom always taught me do unto others as you want done to yourself. So I always try to do the right thing by people. But one interesting statistic that we have is 4 of our agents reach that milestone of top 100 agents in all of Buffalo.
Wow.
And that doesn't happen by accident.
No, it certainly doesn't.
The people feeding off each other. And then even more interestingly enough, 2 of the 4, 3 years ago, had never sold a house.
Wow.
So,
that's amazing.
So it's very quick growth. I mean, like, it comes down to technology. I mean, it comes down to hiring smart. We use DISC assessments. And what the DISC assessment does is it helps me, as a very valuable tool, help people decide, like, are they cut out for sales? I mean, I know there's a difference of opinion from some of the other brokers I've talked to, but not every person is meant to go out and sell a house. Not every person, you know, that's not what they want to do. And using that tool to help really hone in, and then better yet, the people that aren't a fit, I'm not scared to say, hey, you know what? I don't think you should invest 75, 100 hours of your life and thousands of dollars And then, you know, 6-8 months before you realize, like, wow, sales really wasn't for me. I think, I mean, using technology, going in, I mean, my CRM, I would challenge to say, is the best in the country. I mean, I did a ton of research on it. I came from a tech background, so that's what I like to do. But using that technology, giving the tools to the people, and then just having them leverage each other. One of the coolest things going around the office is, oh, hey, you know, this helped me grow. I want to give you the tool. And it's just, it's, from what I hear, not standard in the industry.
Oh, God, no. It's almost the opposite. One of the other things that you do, too, I mean, I don't want to answer the question for you, but one of the other things I know that you're very, very big in coaching yourself. I mean, you have a personal coach who's one of the Tony Robbins people, and the Tony Robbins people are great. And you've decided to not only use that tool for yourself and your own personal growth and your own business growth, but you've also opened it up to all of the agents gratis in your organization. And one of the things we've noticed over the years is really good producers tend to need coaching. And if you look at let me give you a good example. Josh Allen, you talked about DISC analysis before. I'm a big proponent of DISC analysis, and I used to use it in my consulting work when I would talk to different companies, and I said, listen, you got to get the right people on the bus, you got to get the wrong people on the bus, and you got to get the right people in the right seats. And the whole point of DISC analysis is you want to coach to somebody's strengths. And I always used to say, listen, when they hired Jim Kelly to play for the Buffalo Bills, I think he was playing with some other crazy little team out there, and the Colonels or something like that, they're not even around anymore. When they hired him, they didn't hire him to sing. I don't even know if he can sing. They hired him to throw that freaking football and make decisions on the field. When Josh Allen, when we first put him aboard, they had a special coach work with him to make sure that he could release the ball quickly so that he wouldn't get tackled. So he had very specific skills that they coached to. And that's what your coaches are doing now. I'm thinking that's amazing. And you just provide it as a service. You think it makes a difference for your agents, or is it too soon to tell at this point, Joel?
Oh, I mean, I believe in it firmly. I mean, I'm very involved in the Tony Robbins world. I've volunteered. I worked for him out in London, England, just before COVID, and that's actually where I met this guy, the coach that we used. Leaps and bounds has grown my business. And I mean, the tools and the tips that he's given to our agents, I mean, I'm already hearing, like, hey, I applied, you know, last week's class, and I'm already seeing an immediate response.
Yeah, it really is amazing. And it goes so far head and shoulders above what anyone else is doing in the local market. Sure, maybe they're doing it some other place out in Tallahassee or Vegas, but they're not doing it here, that's for sure. And clearly you see the results. And you know, the other thing is, I can remember once seeing some sort of a sign that said, happy cows give more milk. Your agents look really happy. I mean, there's no one comes in here as miserable. They have a smile on their face. They got a bounce in their step. And I think it's because they like doing what they're doing. And I think it's part of the culture that you've established here. We don't have any nitwits that are running around. I don't know if that's a terrible thing to say or not. Okay. There's a special sign. No nitwits need apply. So where do you see this whole thing going? Are you going to have like 50 offices on every corner? You're going to go, what do you think? What's your vision for the future?
I mean, our future is bright. We are shooting to be the number one brokerage in Buffalo. And I mean, the current companies, they're the big names, and you know, they have hundreds of years of experience, but number one is where we're going. Our company motto is setting a new standard in real estate. And we try to apply that daily. Is there a way that I can give an edge to a buyer, give an edge to a seller? Is there a tool, a product that can be created? And I work with people every single day to say, like, how do we be a little bit better than yesterday? What they call it in the Tony Robbins world is, what's the 2-millimeter difference? What's the small little change you can make today that'll make a huge impact later? Kind of like when you throw a pebble into a pond, the ripple becomes immense.
You know what? It's a simple thing and it's a profound thing all at once. But it's just wonderful to watch the results. And I'm really looking forward to watch the results year over year to see just how far you can take this thing. What's one of the things that you think will be one of the biggest hurdles to get over in the real estate market this year?
So this year, I mean, we are competing against rising interest rates. I think that, you know, well, it's not a think, it's a fact. Money is not going as far as it did, you know, that 2% interest rate and a 7% interest rate really changes your borrowing power.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be something that we're focusing on a lot. However, life still happens. People still sadly pass away and grandma's house has to get sold and people still get married and have kids and need to grow and any other lifestyle changes, there still has to be a change. So we're not flying the white flag by any means. We're actually seeing that our business overly changing too much, but it is being impacted. But that's our biggest challenge, and that really is something beyond our control. So we just focus on honing our skills, using even a downturn in the market. Maybe our buyers can be a little bit more educated and they have an opportunity to get a few bucks off on a house where before, you know, the how much higher can I pay was pretty much our only negotiating last year.
Yeah. It wasn't always, it may not just always be price this time. What's interesting about that too is, you know, one of the things we quiz our agents, like, where do you think your business is going to come from? And they all say, well, this and that, open houses and whatever, and work in my circle of influence. I said, here's a little secret that most people don't get, but I'm going to get you to get it right away. 80% of the business never goes away, never changes, and we refer to it as the DDTs, death, divorce, and transfer. No matter what we do, people keep dying. No matter what we do, people keep getting divorced. And with the divorce, you know, sometimes there's two or three transactions in there. And of course, transfer, people are being transferred all over town, whether it's being across the country or from Amherst to the city or from the city to Orchard Park, whatever. People are moving around a lot. That never changes. And you know what? The interest rates go up. I bought my first house at 14.5% years ago, and I was delighted to get it. So the only thing that really changed was the cost of bread went up. The cost of housing went up. And I'm not really thinking that the cost of interest is going to go down all that much. And I'm thinking for years the gold standard was 8.5. And if you look at the average of mortgages across the long span of record keeping, it was 11.25 was the number. It was the magical number across all the years.
If you look at the last 40 years, yeah, that is the number.
Yeah, and you know what? It was a gift. When people get, I had one guy get a mortgage at 2.5%. I mean, that was ridiculous. I mean, it was like free money. I mean, yeah, it was great, but that was as close to winning the lottery as you're ever going to get. So, you know, even at, I think it's 7, it's a gift. Anything under 8.5, I think, is a gift, frankly. But that's a whole other story, and people will pay more, and they'll cry a little bit, but I think that's what we're looking at in terms of reality. And I think one of the bigger challenges is going to be just getting some inventory because there's not a lot of houses out there. Would you say that's a reasonable statement, Joel?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, the builders, they're really getting tons of opportunities. I actually just left a meeting this morning. I'm actually heading to another build this afternoon just to get in touch with these guys and know, like, hey, you know what? They have the inventory because they're creating it.
Yeah. Yeah, and our market's a little bit different because we don't have a lot of building going on here. We have some, and unfortunately, it's usually at a price that's not at an entry point for most people, and it's, you know, sort of certainly a trade-up kind of a buyer these days unless they're doing condos or something to get in on the ground floor, which is something that I always found was very interesting about the Buffalo market is in just about every other market that's out there, people use condos or townhouses as starter homes, or they use them when they're phasing down. But they don't seem to use them as starter homes as much in this market. They don't think of it that way. But that's what it is. But it certainly makes it more affordable getting in. But that's all I think. What other trends do you think we should be looking for, Joel, over the next couple of years as we come to the final minutes of our show?
new trends. So I do see, I mean, one thing that actually happened big time in COVID was the virtual tours. I see that, I mean, more technology is going to be implemented into buying houses. I mean, I had a house, somebody literally just did a 3D walkthrough. I toured the home for them while they were in California. And they bought the house. They did a home inspection. I mean, I did a little FaceTime video with them, but I see that, you know, people are going to be able to make bigger decisions using technology. And you just got to stay ahead of that curve. And that's, I mean, that's one of my strengths. Like I said before, technology is my background. And I built this brokerage on how do we utilize it to make the entire experience so much easier.
And that goes to the coolest thing that we were talking about before. Yeah, it's interesting with the technology and the internet. When I wrote my first book, it came out in 2004, I only spent a very few pages on the internet because it really wasn't a thing that was being used back then. It was interesting. You would think that it would have been huge, even as early as the O's, the aughts, as they used to call them, 2003. But yeah, they really wasn't using it. Now, most people find their houses on the internet. That's what it is. And because of that, they actually look at fewer houses than they used to. The average used to be between 12 and 15 houses somebody would look at. Now it's between 8 and 9, depending on what part of the country. They actually physically look at fewer houses. These days, they're probably looking at
even
fewer houses.
Yeah, because you're able
to
go so much further without having to...
You don't actually have to see it. And a lot of times people would buy houses sight unseen. Well, now it's not quite sight unseen because, I mean, you got a pretty good idea of what was going on there at the virtual tour. I mean, you can look at the outside of the streets. You can go up and down. I always go to the neighborhood. I look at the streets. What does it look like? And then I take my little arrow and I go around the corner, make sure there's not a garbage dump behind or something like that. Yeah, you can do an awful lot of things with the internet for sure. All right, so we got about 2 minutes left, and I want to just get some last thoughts on Joel. What would you do if you were looking to buy a house today? What would be the first thing that, other than calling the house for our real estate agent, what would you do if you were looking to buy a house today? Okay, it's an egregious commercial for sure.
No, I mean, it's so true. I mean, you really have to have somebody that has experience. I mean, you got to start with a professional. I mean, if you're two-thirds, you don't go to your car mechanic. So it starts with having the right conversation, knowing exactly what your borrowing power is, I mean, talking to the right lender, and just starting to get a feel. I mean, the first step's the best step.
Yeah, and I always tell people, I mean, in the olden days, you could just sort of buy a house and people would say, oh, you're going to get a mortgage, that's great. Now, not only do you have to tell them you're getting a mortgage, they want to know where you're getting a mortgage before you apply for the mortgage, and they want to see your pre-approval before they accept your offer. And I always tell people, listen, I know you don't feel like actually calling the mortgage guy here, but you got to call it because I need that piece of paper that says you're approved because that's your boarding pass. You are not getting on this plane without that boarding pass. You can be the greatest guy in the world. You can tell me you got $1 zillion in the bank. But if I don't see it on paper, proof of funds, or a pre-approval letter, you are going nowhere. Okay. So
true.
Yeah, I mean, so that's a big change in how we do business. And I think that's a good change. I mean, there were times when people, I think, were looking at houses that they probably couldn't afford and all that. That wasn't right. I'm kind of excited when I see how sometimes the technology works hand in glove with us. So that's a good thing. We got 60 seconds to go on our maiden voyage, and I just want to say in the next couple of weeks, make sure you tune in, and you can always call in. You might want to jot the number down for next week. Your call-in number is 563-999-3066. You don't have to sing it, but I felt like singing it right then. 563-999-3066. This is Real Estate is Cool, as far as I know. And you're going to probably hear me say, as far as I know, a lot, because a lot of times when I tell people that I work for Husfar, they say, what the heck's a Husfar? So I would say, as far as I know, it's the coolest real estate company in town. So
that's awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, well, thanks for being a great guest, Joel. Keep doing what you do. You're making real estate. You're making Buffalo and Western New York a better place to live, and that's where it's all about. So next week, 1 p.m., catch us again, and we're going to get into some really cool things that you didn't expect. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks. Bye.
All right, we got one in the can.
All right. So, yeah. Probably the biggest difference where it comes up on price. Yeah. Yeah. You want me on a podcast?
Sure.
1 o'clock, I'll give you the...
it's a live show.
Can you text me?
I'll give you all the information.
Okay.
Okay. You can call it from anywhere. You can call it from your car.
Yeah.
Us residential agents, this is worth too much.
Hey, how are you?
See, old man.
Okay, buddy.
Now that I know the one person in the office older than me, I thought you were younger.
Yeah, well, makeup.
But you're close.
Getting there. Yeah, I just had to go to a funeral this morning.
Oh, friend?
Yeah, friend's father. So.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. Hindu. First Hindu funeral I've been to.
Hindu, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Yeah, but he's a member of the Brahmin caste. That's as high as you can go. You know, and next up is Nirvana.
Nirvana.
It's the priestly caste.
Really?
Yeah, and you're born into it. So my buddy, he's
born
a wild.
Into it, huh?
He's a wild man, and his father was always saying, "So when will you start being a Brahmin?" So yeah, when will you grow up and start being a Brahmin?
Wow.
Anything going on?
I had an offer with Katie. She's got it listed. And it seems everybody, she's the hottest agent in town right now. Everybody wants this listing. And there's 13 offers out.
Oh, okay.
My offer's 50 over asking. And it's not probably good enough.
Yeah.
But.
Price, what is it at price then?
$279.
No, it's cheap.
The only end is my sister, the mother, were friends with these people.
Mm.
Not a friend of me, but she is. And I grew up with his husband, Mike. I know him well, but I mean, I didn't socialize with him. He went to parties at my house years ago, but she's probably closer to Katie than me. But I'm bringing the offer, and I'm hoping...
You're making the ship move, man. So.
All I can hope is that the fact that we have this relationship, you know, let's say everybody brings an offer, a good offer. But they want us to buy it, I'm hoping. You know, the tugging on the...
Sure.
You know, hey, you know, neighbors, friends, Catholic friends.
Whatever.
Whatever. Hoping that they come back and they go, hey, you know, we got an offer for $350. Would you take it? They'll say no. But we'd love the fact that if they came to us to make the deal, I would be really nice about that.
Yeah.
But
sometimes that helps. It's not, certainly not going to hurt you.
No,
sometimes it helps.
But you can't do the love letter. That would be
no. You can't do the love letter. But you know what? One of the reasons why you want to be, you want to have a good profile with the other agents is so that they can go back and say, listen, this is a good offer. This is a good offer. I know this guy. I know he's a good agent. I know he's going to close. This one looks good, but this guy's a pain in the ass to deal with.
Well, not that. I'm saying the ownership, the owners,
mm-hmm.
know the us, the family. Right?
Well, that might help too, but
it might,
but
I'm
also,
but,
some... but Katie also can breathe in the ear and say, you know, and I've said that. I said, listen, this guy is a royal pain in the ass to deal with. If you want to go down this road, and he's promising to, it's on you. But remember, I'm telling you up front.
Well, we came on no inspection. 20% down, conventional, pre-qualified at the purchase price.
Hey, on another note, you want to be a guest on our podcast? 30 seconds, it's live. 30 minutes, it's live. You talk. You can do it from anywhere. You can do it from your house. You can do it. Joel just did it driving in his car.
Mm-hmm.
Real estate is cool.
Real estate is cool.
As far as I know. Is that good? And it's all about what makes living in 716 Vance cool. And it's not just the buying and selling of real estate. That should be cool too. People should not just have a good experience with their agent. They should have a cool experience. Say, wow, this was just really the way it was supposed to be. That's the reaction that we're looking for. But above and beyond that, there's other cool things that are going on in this town. Like my favorite cool thing that we're going to talk about is the Albert Knox Gallery. And when it reopens in 3 months, it's going to be huge. It's going to
is that that new structure? That
yes. Yes. Well, but they remember when they put the glass pyramid over the Louvre? Everyone hated it. Now people will say, oh, yeah, we went to the glass pyramid. You know, Eiffel Tower. Everyone said, why would you want this friggin' eyesore in this town? Everyone goes to Paris for the Eiffel friggin' Tower now. Guggenheim Museum in New York City. The Guggenheim Museum in Bilbao, Spain. It's huge. There was no reason to go to Bilbao, Spain, except until they brought the Guggenheim there. So the Albert Knox was a destination before, but now it's going to be world-class destination. So things like, we want to talk about things that make this a cool place to do. You're a cool guy.
Bye-bye.
Yes, you are. I wouldn't be talking to you. I only hang out with cool guys.
Uh-huh.
But I'll bet you that when you do business with the people that you do business with, they enjoy the experience. And I'll bet you that they'll say, you know, Bobby, you know, he's a good guy. You can trust him. He's cool. He's going to get this thing together one way or the other. It doesn't always work out, but I think that's the reaction that
so,
you hope
so
for.
What, so
I would talk to you about commercial real estate. What do you think is going on? What do you think is not going on? What, any predictions? And you, it's a 10-minute interview.
Yeah, I would and it goes up on a podcast. It
goes out on a podcast
which
all over the world, and it can be replayed and put on your website or do whatever you want. And I usually like to have at least one guest a week.
I think what I need to do is see the podcast.
Well, yeah, this is it's strictly listen. You listen to a podcast.
You listen. There's no visit.
It's like radio.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that what podcasts are? I
yeah.
hear it all the
yeah.
time. Podcast. I have
yeah.
a podcast.
I have a podcast.
And you have a podcast.
Yeah.
Are you getting an audience?
We just started. It's a main voice. So we're building an audience.
Really?
Yeah. And I'll tell you, here's what we're doing here. Says our host, Brendan Cunningham, who literally wrote the book on real estate, will talk candidly with our guests and other industry experts about what's going on in this rapidly changing marketplace. A 30-minute jam session will take no-holds approach to discussing what you need to know right now. And we'll talk to Vincent Lovely. So
you sit here and talk to me for 30 minutes.
Well, the show's 30 minutes. I'm not going to talk to you for 30 minutes.
So there's more people involved.
I could have more people involved. I do an opening.
So
I do a close.
Basically, maybe 10 minutes.
10 minutes. 10 minutes tops.
And would I be able to prep for this? Or
you can do any kind of preparation you want. If you want to give me the questions you want me to ask you, that's okay, too. I actually like that.
Yeah.
Because my job is to make you look good. I don't want to give you any trick questions.
Yeah, right.
That you say, oh, gee, I wish you wouldn't ask me that. You know, if you don't want me to ask you, don't put it on the sheet. Yeah. I don't want anyone to look or
but
sound
you're
just
bad. Starting this now.
Just started.
Well, I'll tell you what.
We were supposed to start last week, and unfortunately,
I'm leaving Wednesday for Florida, so I'm not
going
to be involved.
Oh, no, we'll be for a couple of weeks. How long are you going to be there?
Call me, ask me again, and I'll give you a reply.
How long are you going to be there?
Oh, just 6 days.
Okay.
I'll be home before the end of the month. I'll be home.
I'm going to be doing this next month, and I won't even be here. So I'll be someplace else.
Oh.
I'll be in Sorrento.
Where's Sorrento?
Italy.
Are you going? Fine. That's good.
You should go. Yeah, I should go.
You and the wife?
Yeah.
Good.
We've been there before, but like the song says, take me back to Sorrento.
Yeah. I wish I could get my wife to travel more. We're going through this vacation. My niece bought a home. One of my nieces bought a home in New Hampshire. $750,000, wish I would have got a piece of that.
Up in the Green Mountains.
In Bedford.
Oh, I know Bedford.
Do you? Mm-hmm. All right. I guess it's 45 minutes from Boston. So my wife and I are thinking.
It's right up Route 3.
My wife and I are thinking, well, we always wanted to see Boston, always wanted to do.
You never been to Boston? Oh, what a great town.
I hear it's expensive.
I lived in Boston. So yeah.
I hear it's very expensive.
Yeah, it's,
but
in some respects, it may be more expensive than New York City.
But I'm not going to live there. I'm just going
to visit it. You're going to go.
Visit in a whole room or whatever, a couple nights, and that's that. Go to Connecticut and, of course, see the Foxwoods Casino.
Been there, done that.
But to me, that would be a loop back home because it's all in that area. It might be a little out of my way.
So you're driving?
I would drive, yes. Yes, I would. I don't like driving that far, but I ain't going
to
fly.
You're not going to New York City, are you? Okay. Yeah, a cool thing to do, and I've done this many times, is when you do the Boston thing or the Cape or whatever, you come back through London, which is on the way to Foxwoods, and you hop on the ferry that takes you to Orient Point, Long Island, and then you drive through the vineyards on the North Fork. And then you're basically an hour and a half to Manhattan from there.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to do that.
My wife and I would have no interest in seeing the idiots that live there.
But you get to see the whales and the porpoises.
Well, that would be, of course.
Yeah. And on the boat, it's a free whale watch.
And have a dinner of lobster, of course.
Of course.
And Boston's lobster.
Boston's lobster.
It's all lobster.
You know where you're going to get the best lobster dinner in Boston? In the airport at Legal Seafood.
Cut it out.
Legal Seafood is the place to eat in Boston, but they actually have a Legal Seafood in the airport at Logan.
No way.
Yeah, I always make a point whenever I go through Logan, I always stop at Legal Seafood and have dinner.
So you get like a sandwich? Or
you know what? I'll typically get a lobster roll.
Yeah,
because it's a real lobster.
We were in Canandaigua, and I was at some restaurant in town, and they offered a lobster roll, and I had it, and it wasn't great.
No.
And I went to this place in Canandaigua where you could actually physically see the chunk of the lobster on a roll.
Yeah, it's not just all mayonnaise and celery.
Oh, I know what it was. Wilson House had lobster.
Oh, okay.
And that was not bad. But it came on like a hot dog roll.
It comes on a hot dog with a toast. That's a lobster roll.
Yeah. But the Canandaigua place that had it was a seafood restaurant on the water in Canandaigua. And I go, well, I'm going to order it. So I ordered it. Very tasty. Lots of lobster.
Yeah.
Full of lobster.
Yeah.
But I plan to eat like a king when I'm in Florida.
Oh, you know, are you a fish guy? You like fish?
I love, when I've got, you know what the old saying is. When in Rome.
You do as a Roman so. I eat fish every day when I'm in Florida.
Because
it's right out of the water, man.
When we were in Cancun, we were on there was a Gulf and Bay to the Cancun resort. So this resort is on the Gulf, but there was a bay, and you cross the street, and there was a seafood restaurant. So every day, we'd spend all day out on the beach. Then we'd come in at 4, go to the pool, drink at the tiki bar. Mm-hmm. Lane would go up, shower. This is 92, so we were many years younger.
31 years ago, can you imagine?
So we were, she'd go up and shower, and I would stay down at the bar, and I would flirt with the girls in the bikinis.
And there are lots of them.
On the beach bar, water bar, sitting at the bar,
yeah,
in the water. I'd have my drinks. And,
life is good.
Life is good. I'd go up there about 4:30, quarter to 5, take a shower because you had to get the salt out,
yeah,
of you. If you went in the water, you're icky.
Yeah.
You're really
seaweedy.
Well, it's not so much that. It's,
yeah,
the salt.
Yeah.
Your body's got salt all over it. So I take a shower. We change. Get into a nice, comfortable summer wear because,
mm-hmm,
you never had to worry about, like, pants.
No.
The weather was spray 85,
yeah,
every day.
Yeah, Cancun's great. I've been there.
Then we went walking across the street. Leisurely walk across the street. No reservations. Always got a seat. And had the seafood. Snapper.
Love
Hooper.
It. Love it.
All of it. Every, it was
my group may be my favorite.
It was a different fish every day.
Yeah, different fish every day.
And we were there for a week. It was,
mm-hmm,
really nice. Then one night, we went to the Cancun Old.
Mm-hmm.
Cancun,
mm-hmm,
where the city is,
mm-hmm,
outside of the,
yeah,
perfect
the
water.
Trip there, yeah.
Yeah. Don't drink drinks with ice. You know,
I mean,
bottled only,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, which was smart because the ice will make you
sick. You're done.
But where we stayed is New Cancun. That's all Culligan water,
yeah,
treated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they know.
I was sick the first couple of days of my being there.
Really?
I'm drinking Alka-Seltzer Plus.
Mm.
Out of cups of water I got from my bathroom sink in my hotel. And I didn't get sick, but I was sick. It did.
Yeah.
It kind of sucked being cold. What are you going to do? You end up a cold getting there.
Yeah. So,
how did I have to push through? And
yeah, I love Mexico. And right now,
I won't go to Mexico.
It's a little dangerous right now.
But telling the people don't go to Mexico. For Easter break, what are you nuts?
Yeah.
I wouldn't go to Texas right now.
Yeah.
It's looking like Mexico.
Yeah.
See you later, buddy.
Okay, buddy. Well, cogitate on it. I'll get you in a month or two.
Yeah,
I'll make you a hero.
My job is to make you look good.
I'm showing for the morning. Tonawanda, North. We were kind of all over the place. So, can you email me or for your approval? I'm going to get the contact right now. If you could email that to me, I will need your attorney's information. Yes, you can. Absolutely. Please text it to me. Okay.
bumpy, but we got through it. You know what, though? If it was perfect, it wouldn't have been perfect. It would have been perfect. Not be bad any better. So I called it different.
Oh, that's the one. I got to wash my hands. Go, watch the phone.
Yeah.
Did you have lunch?
Yeah, at the New Bill's
place. Oh, okay.
Hey, Joseph. I just followed the
I mean, for a podcast, I mean, I think it was.
Yeah,
well, I mean, you're really good at filling by there.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's what I do. I guess I'm gonna take this as a backhanded compliment, but
I think we can get some legs on this thing, you know.
Now, does it say if you had any listeners tune in? Does it say like
I wasn't expecting any at this point,
How does it even how do they get it out there? How is it?
It's if you tune into if you know the address. You can plug into it. I was just going to take, hopefully, a copy of that episode and maybe stick it on the Facebook page and say, tune in, listen in.
Gotcha.
It was good enough to do that. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then you can build your listenership up over the years. Hey.
So people have to call in to listen, or they'd be able to listen to it live?
They can get an old show if they want.
Gotcha.
So,
okay.
So unfortunately, the first two episodes, because we're on Greenwich Mean Time, didn't go through. Duh.
But again, I mean, that shows humanity.
Yeah, and then maybe we can work on a YouTube thing on it eventually. But I think we can get more people on board this way. It's a great recruiting tool. People, want to be on the podcast. I've asked a couple of agents. I asked Sean. He says, I'm good. I'm good to go. So I'll get Bob. He can be a commercial guy on there. Should try and put it in. Because there's a lot of weeks in a year, so.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll load it up. But thanks. You did a great job. And so you called a different number than the one I gave you?
The one you just sent me was the wrong number.
Oh, I got it wrong by thing.
You sent me the week before.
Was the right number?
Was the right number.
That's weird. Because that's.
I think one was a listen, one was a talk.
Oh, okay.
I think so. Here, let's look. Let's see if the numbers are even different. Brendan. Okay. So the 3066.
Guest calling 999-3066.
Yeah, that's so strange. It's the same number. You texted me both times.
Yeah,
so I called this.
Guest calling.
And you couldn't hear me. I hung up and I called this, and it worked. Same freaking number.
Yeah, but it's put with the bracket. I don't know. Whatever. Okay.
No, because it dialed through and it said you're in listen mode. Hello, can you hear me? Are you there?
Yeah. Okay, well, we got you on.
But I mean, it worked, so.
Yeah, so that's that. It's good.
I think it went smooth. I think it went.
Yeah, I knew you'd be a great guest. Otherwise, I wouldn't invite you on. So, but
pretty good at bullshitting.
You know what? And you did something that was really wonderful and remarkable, because I listened for it. You never started out any of your answers with, well, because anything comes after well is bullshit. Means the guy, he doesn't know. He's just making it up.
I consciously shut my brain off from Phil Ward.
Yeah, I think I may have had one on there. But if you listen to any of the politicians, other than Reagan, who always, well, it's like the budget is sort of like doing your kitchen. I mean, he always started out with well. But he was actually thinking of these. But whenever they start with well, it's all bullshit and they're making shit up after that.
No shit.
Just check it out. See if I'm wrong.
No, I mean, I it makes sense.
Yeah. And the worst one is the press secretary. Everything. Well, we want clarity. How come that's the last thing we have?
I can give 80% of my public speaking and radio ability
to the NAR.
You would say
spokesperson
thing. And actually, spokesperson, it was a very good course.
Very good course.
It was a very good. I loved how they said, "This is how you talk to the press." When they pivot.
Well,
get out.
I was the cocky agent in the
right.
class because there was a bunch of like
old people,
more seasoned people, and then there was me, and I was like, "I'll go up first." So the guy like full pressed me,
yeah.
and I handled his objections.
Yeah.
And then it was like, you know, what areas we can improve, things like that. And I used and he goes, you know, if you could eliminate that word, you'll be a great.
And you know what? It's easier to do than people think. You just have to, you have to think about it.
Naturally you want to.
We all do.
You want to respond quick, but a second of silence is more acceptable.
It's, yeah. Tom Bowerly, I listen to him usually in the afternoon on BEN. He's a big hummer. And he's talking about crazy things all over the time, but he goes, everyone's going to go hum. But what are you going to do? That's what it is. But good. We got one of the can. We'll work on it.
Yeah.
Then I'll get the music lead in, work to work, and we can get some lights on this thing.
Sweet. Cool. Okay. Good stuff.
Beautiful. Hey, on another note, can I ask you, I think this should be a non-question, but I'm going to make sure. I'm loading up your blog posts,
mm-hmm.
okay, so that you should have like two a week.
Yeah, he said that we got to start.
I'm loading you up. Yeah, I think we're all the way through June at this point, but I want to start doing two or three a week. So he's got things that are bankable. What I was hoping to do, and hopefully this is not a strain on your psychological makeup here, I may want to reprint these and put them in a book format.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. You want to
I'm okay to do that?
Property.
Well, that's the question. I mean,
yeah, no.
Technically, it's probably your intellectual because I'm on your post, but as long as we're good.
No, hell no. Go
okay.
for it.
Okay.
I would actually love that we were the source of a
book. Oh, and you'd get credit for it. But,
I think it would be cool, little short stories from a...
Well,
it'd
be like a sequel to the Tricks of the Trade, even more Tricks of the Trade.
Yeah,
really,
no, I think that's a great
filthy thing. Tricks of the trade.
Yeah. It's all right. I just want 14 cents of every trick.
Well, yeah, that's about all you make on them.
Yeah, right.
Everybody thinks you get rich, you know.
No,
have it. That's the best value. You get rich.
Did you cut one yesterday and give it to Marco?
I think you're saying that
energy around the world. So we have everybody taking that out of the book yet. But we don't have people in until a certain time to try to get people to come along.
Jungle, I'd say. It's a jungle.
And what a day, huh?
Yeah. Stuff going on.
Good.